This is Jay Sekulow. It was 25 years ago today, our first decision came out of the Supreme Court of the United States. Jews for Jesus was the case. The decision, 9-0.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, yay, oh, yay, oh, yay. All persons having business before the Honorable, the Supreme Court of the United States, are admonished to draw near and give their attention, for the court is now sitting. God save the United States and this honorable court.
We'll hear argument first this morning in number 86-104, Board of Airport Commissioners of the City of Los Angeles versus Jews for Jesus and others. We'll hear now from you, Mr. Sekulow.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, local governments have important responsibilities concerning their efficient operation of airports under their control. However, the record in this case is clear. There is no justification for a sweeping ban on First Amendment activities which would subordinate cherished First Amendment freedoms. In fact, four circuit courts and numerous district courts have determined that airport terminals are public forum.
Have you ever seen a station or an airport where people stand around and discuss problems and all?
Absolutely. Oh,
you have?
Yes, I have, Your Honor. Where people have stood around.
Well, you get in Grand Central Station around 5 o'clock and you'll get run over.
Your Honor, the fact that there are a lot of people in the particular forum is more evidence of the importance of those particular places being available for public access for the dissemination of, in this case, religious literature. It is that concentration of people that I think is evidence of the need.
Do you stand by all the stipulations of fact that are in the record?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Sekulow.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. It was 25 years ago, about 2 hours ago, that the Supreme Court of the United States issued its decision in Board of Airport Commissioners versus Jews for Jesus. It was the very first case I argued at the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, in those days, there were no internet. There was no instant communications like that. You actually had to call and get the opinion decision. I was in Moody Bible Institute's buildings in their campus in Chicago, Illinois, doing a training symposium for Jews for Jesus staff that were distributing religious literature and a summer witnessing campaign that were about to take place throughout the entire United States. I was doing a discussion about First Amendment activities, what you can and cannot do. We got word that decisions were coming down that particular day, June 15th, 1987. I went to a, remember these folks? Coin-operated phones, remember payphones? I went to a payphone. And typed in, you had to type in the number and then your credit card information, and then they answered the phone, the clerk office of the Supreme Court of the United States. And I said, has the decision come out in 86-104, that is Board of Airport Commissioners versus Jews for Jesus? The clerk of the court, Sandy Nelson, said, yes, it had come out. The decision is unanimous in your favor, 9-0. And I will tell you, that was a happy day, and it ended up becoming, of course, a life changer for me and my family. And Jordan was actually in the courtroom during that argument, or at the proceedings, has his picture in front of the Supreme Court of the United States, and it was not in the courtroom itself. It was right there on the steps of the Supreme Court all those years ago. I don't know if you remember much about that, Jordan. You remember the picture, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've got that picture everywhere, and you know, you get to see the style of the 1987 Sekulow family, and
yep.
I think there's all of us are in that picture. Yeah.
Why don't we post that up on our Facebook, and that'll be great. Let's get that picture posted, because I think Pam has that up on her Facebook. We'll get that picture posted on Facebook. Some of you may remember our days when I was with Jews for Jesus or with the group Christian Advocates Serving Evangelism, which, of course, is still around. It's the parent company for the ACLJ. If you do, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go down memory lane a little bit, talk about the decisions. This is the 25th anniversary for this decision. We're going to come back and play for you some of the audio from the Supreme Court argument itself. But what we're asking people to do today in honor of the 25th anniversary of this decision is to support the work of the ACLJ that's now going on, not just here in the United States, but around the globe, with a donation of $25, because it is the 25th anniversary for the case. Jordan's going to give you the information at ACLJ.org and the phone number, but we sure would appreciate you standing with us, and now our hundreds of lawyers around the world standing for freedom and liberty.
Call now, 877-989-2255. The 25th anniversary, asking for a $25 donation. Call now, 877-989-2255 to support the ACLJ.
Mm-hmm.
It was a resounding win for free speech and religious liberty. 25 years ago today, the Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, agreed that religious speech must be given the same protection as all other protected speech. It was the first of what would be many cases argued at the High Court by ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow. This free speech victory 25 years ago today set the course for what would prove to be a tremendous track record of success for the ACLJ in protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. None of this would have been possible, though, without your prayers and support. As the ACLJ embarks on the next quarter century of defending our faith and families, take a moment and stand with the ACLJ. Your support is crucial and enables Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ to engage the issues that matter most to you and your family. Call right now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Sekulow provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Sekulow Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Sekulow tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Sekulow. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It is 25 years ago. It was today that the Supreme Court of the United States issued our decision in our very first case that I argued at the Supreme Court of the United States in Board of Airport Commissioners versus Jews for Jesus. It was a unanimous decision. The case involved literature distribution around airports. It was an evangelism case. Set the stage for a lot of other evangelism cases. It was a very big case at the time because there was a novel approach to it. Rather than arguing that the case involved the free exercise of religion, which is traditionally how the case had been argued, I asserted that religious speech, distribution of literature, sharing the gospel, was protected just as pure speech, that religious speech was no different than any other form of speech and should give the same protection, and that these airports were forums for free speech with all the commercial activities that take place there. It was a very interesting argument. It was my very first one. The audio here, and our guys have done a great job of cleaning it up, but it's 25 years old, as you can imagine. By the way, we're asking that you consider making a donation of $25 or more to the ACLJ in honor of that anniversary. We also have available, and when you call in, you can get information about this, our Supreme Court audio files, which are all of the arguments that I've had at the Supreme Court of the United States. You can find out how you could get those as well. So we encourage you to call us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Now, a little bit of history here. Let me set it in motion for you here. We had no staff in those days. It was me and Pam. And Jordan and Logan were really young. The one thing we still have from that time period is the actual table that when it was Case, when the organization was called Case, where I wrote that Supreme Court brief, and we still have it right here. It's actually in our media center offices, but Jordan, you remember the famous table a lot. That's kind of become an icon here at the ACLJ.
Yeah, absolutely. It reminds us, talking to people on over 800 radio stations right now, where it all started and how young we were, and when the donation letters would come in from our supporters, we opened them all together, and, Mom was writing the newsletters by hand. The whole the growth of the ACLJ in not that long of a time, 25 years, and now what we're doing here in the United States and also all around the world, able to help protect people's freedoms and liberties because of those our early supporters, I know who a lot who still listen to this broadcast every day.
Yeah, some are calling now. By the way, if you want to talk to us, if you remember those early days of Case or the ACLJ in the early days, give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Before we go to the calls, though, let me play for you something here from the case. Now, our argument was twofold, that there was this public forum for free speech. That was the argument I made. I got a lot of questions from both Justice White and Chief Justice Rehnquist. Take a listen to number 5, and then we'll go right to 6.
Our position is twofold, that by tradition, if you will, that a public forum has been created.
So it's like a sidewalk, they just can't...
Yes, a sidewalk or a street or a park.
Yeah. Well, how has it been created by tradition if airport authorities close them?
Well, the tradition, Your Honor, is...
I mean, what is the tradition with respect to major airports?
Major airports, as we know them, are a recent phenomenon. They've not been, their history is limited.
So there is no tradition with respect to major airports.
Your Honor, I think that...
Is that true or false?
I think there is a tradition, Your Honor.
What is it?
I think it's twofold. The first part of the tradition analysis could be that in a limited history, there is a history though, First Amendment activities in the Central Terminal area at LAX have taken place. Jews for Jesus has been distributing religious literature for over 12 years now. And the other history...
That is the tradition, what's happened in the past 12 years?
Considering the length of the history of the airport itself, that period of time is substantial.
One thing I do notice, I since that argument, I do put a note to myself to talk slower, but I sure was moving quickly. But that was the nature of the kind of questions you get at the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, let me take it a step further. We had this victory, and then we got a lot of information out to people as the decision went forward. We've got a call coming in right now. A call is coming in. If you want to talk to us on air, by the way, 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about the 25th anniversary of our first victory at the Supreme Court of the United States. The first case I argued in the Supreme Court, folks, it was the first case I argued in a court of appeals was at the Supreme Court of the United States. 9-0 in favor of Jews for Jesus and their right to distribute literature. Jordan, let's go to the phones right now. A lot of people remember the history of the ACLJ and Christian Advocates Serving Evangelism.
Yeah, give us a call if you want to talk to us. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Carol calling in from Maryland online, too. Carol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Carol.
I think this conversation is partially my fault because I brought case up yesterday. I was 15 years old. Me and some of my friends started a Bible study in our high school. Initially, we had permission. There was no problem with every other club in the school. We went about 6 weeks into the year, and the vice principal walked in on one of the meetings. We didn't care. We had permission. That was fine. He was standing there listening. He stood there for a few minutes. He told us to disband the group. He pulled the handful of leadership aside, and he said, if I catch y'all doing this again, you will be suspended.
Yeah, and this was before the decision in the Mergens case, which was about 3 years later. So this was, we just had Jews for Jesus. We did, he was threatening you with suspension, which was happening to other schools. What happened then?
We went back to the principal because, as I said, we had permission initially. Well, the leadership went back, talked to the principal. The principal stood by the vice principal. He said, if you're caught doing it again, you'll be suspended. Now, this was, we'll say, years ago. There was no internet. There was not the resources.
Right.
Now, so I talked to my grandmother, and she said, okay, let me talk with your aunt, who was a school administrator for a private school.
Right.
I was not privy to this conversation, as I said.
Sure, go ahead.
Anyway, about 3 or 4 days later, we got this little book, From Intimidation to Victory.
Well, there you go. A golden oldie, I might add, about 22 years ago, yep.
And it tells a couple of stories. It tells Jay's story. It tells part of Case's story.
Right.
And then it talks, but what was valuable for us is that it has the legal justification for holding the Bible study.
Correct. I wrote that right after it was after Jews for Jesus, after Mergens. We put that together, and I'm glad that worked. And you're right, Carol. No internet in those days, folks. So this was, we had a document called Field for the Harvest, which was about school evangelism. We had booklets on various things. We had books on it. In fact, we'll get a shot of From Intimidation to Victory here for our television audience to see, since we've got our TV cameras there. Hey, Carol, we appreciate you calling in and taking us down memory lane there, and I'm glad we were able to help you. And folks, in those days, there was it's a completely different communication situation than as it is now. One thing has not changed. The intensity of Supreme Court arguments, though, let me tell you, we got into a discussion about the history and whether this was a public forum for free speech, whether free speech could be banned. I'm going to play for you number 7 and 8. You're going to know this name is Justice Scalia, and you will hear he's always and still is 25 years later pretty funny in the courtroom. He's a brilliant guy and has a good sense of humor. Listen to 7 and 8.
We would further and argue for a history in this case, one looking at transportation centers generally. City gates, we've argued this in our brief, the city gates from the period of Scripture have been places where people have come to hear ideas. It later moved to railroads, the waterfront, and now airport terminals. Our position
I thought about that city gates thing. Is it
Do you really think that the analog is the city gate, or wouldn't the analog be the, to go back to the time of the Constitution, wouldn't it be the inn at which the coach would stop to pick up passengers, and they'd all assemble there and sit down in the dining room and eat a piece of mutton or something? Were Jews for Jesus allowed inside these inns, or proselytizing groups, do you think so? They were private operations, weren't they?
Well, Your Honor, I think in the spectrum of history, if you will, if you want to start from the Constitution, our position would be, not being there, of course, that Jews for Jesus would have had the right if, in fact, it was not a private enterprise. We're not saying that all places are public forums. Everybody can go everywhere for First Amendment activity.
No, but
so there you have a kind of a sense of what was going on this was my first oral argument, folks, and you see the intensity of the questions. I've got time to play this. This was my opponent in the case was named. He was an attorney for the city of Atlanta, city of Los Angeles, named Capel, and he made an argument that these were not open for free speech. We're going to get to that argument, but he had a testy exchange with Justice Thurgood Marshall. I don't have time to play. I'm going to play. Well, I'll tell you what. We do have time to play it. This is my opponent, and then Thurgood Marshall starts at number 16.
What is wrong with what these people do?
Nothing is wrong with what they do.
How can you prohibit something that doesn't do anything wrong?
Because we are trying to control the uses of the interiors of the terminal facilities. The mere fact that it is not wrong does not mean that it is airport related and is the best use of the terminal facilities.
What right do you have to stop it?
I believe the board has the right to limit the use of its facilities to their intended dedicated purposes.
Could it stop all red-headed people from using it?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because I believe that would be discriminatory.
Why is it discriminatory? You're singling out one group of people.
Well, there you have it. I mean, you couldn't be any clearer than that. One group of people being singled out. That was Thurgood Marshall. By the way, after that little exchange, I felt pretty good about the case, though you never know until the decision comes out. Hey, folks, what we said, ACLJ.org. I want to encourage you, go online, make a $25 donation today. It's in honor of this 25th anniversary of this case. We'll be taking your calls as well. But let me also encourage you, you can call us right now, pledge that $25. You can also get the audio of our Supreme Court cases. Those that are answering the phones can help you on that. ACLJ.org is a great way to make the donation, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with more from the 25th anniversary of the Jews for Jesus case when we come back.
Now you can cut through the clutter, get the facts, the latest on the political landscape, as well as the legal and cultural issues that matter most to you and your family. ACLJ Executive Director Jordan Seculo provides unique insights and a fresh perspective daily on The Jordan Seculo Show.
This is such an important time for America, a national election, a Supreme Court decision on Obamacare, and so much more. In a world where the liberal media strives to distort reality and discredit conservatives just like you and me, you can rely on us to provide you with the facts, the truth.
With experience that spans the globe, Jordan Seculo tackles the tough topics. And you can be part of the show. Send Jordan your questions right now via Twitter. Tweet at Jordan Seculo. The Jordan Seculo Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on Sirius and XM Radio, as well as streaming live on ACLJ.org. It was a resounding win for free speech and religious liberty. 25 years ago today, the Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, agreed that religious speech must be given the same protection as all other protected speech. It was the first of what would be many cases argued at the High Court by ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow. This free speech victory 25 years ago today set the course for what would prove to be a tremendous track record of success for the ACLJ in protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. None of this would have been possible, though, without your prayers and support. As the ACLJ embarks on the next quarter century of defending our faith and families, take a moment and stand with the ACLJ. Your support is crucial and enables Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ to engage the issues that matter most to you and your family. Call right now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of our very first Supreme Court decision. It was unanimous in our favor in the Jews for Jesus case. It was 25 years ago today as we're taping this broadcast for our television audience and for those listening on radio. It happened today, about 3 hours ago, is when I got word by making a phone call on a payphone to determine that, in fact, the Supreme Court of the United States had, in fact, issued the opinion. Later that afternoon, I went out with the team at Jews for Jesus distributing tracts. I was near the ABA building, I'll never forget this, in the American Bar Association building, and some lawyer made some snide comment as he was walking to that building about the literature distribution and said, get a real job. And I said, well, I have one. I was the lawyer that argued that case that came out today by the Supreme Court of the United States, which kind of changed the nature of the conversation, as you can imagine. Talking about conversation changers, let me play for you an exchange. My adversary, my opponent, he was also an officer of the court, of course, Mr. Capel, was arguing about the concern with solicitors. This case wasn't involving monetary solicitation. Jews for Jesus never solicits money in public while they're out distributing literature. But the Chief Justice had a very funny response to this. It was very quick. Let's play number 14.
Much has been made of the presence of solicitors here within the terminals for 10 years or so. The only thing that shows is that the board has not had the appropriate tools to keep these people out and to enforce its policy. They
like
have had
good,
it.
Like a
policy.
Good ordinance drafter.
Yes.
The reason that's significant is that the ordinance itself was declared by Justice O'Connor in the decision. She wrote the opinion as so overbroad that no conceivable governmental interest could justify such a sweeping prohibition on speech. So she was the author of that opinion. Let's go back to our phones, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, Jordan, who's next?
Glenn's calling in from Michigan on line one. Glenn, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Glenn.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
25 years, Jay.
Yes, 25 years. And you were with the Liberated Wailing Wall.
Yeah, in fact, we were in Chicago that very week. Going through the same training with you guys.
Yep.
And just I remember how nervous everybody was. And in a real sense, because of the nature of legal precedent, taking the L.A. airport on could have set a precedent against all evangelism. So really it was such a crucial court case, and thanks be to God that you won it.
Well, you remember those days, and by the way, we were all at Moody Bible Institute. We were in dorms. You remember those dorms. We were in dorms, and I was saying, Glenn, to folks on radio today that we didn't have, this was no instant messenger, no internet. You had to use a payphone to call the clerk. They put you on hold. You waited. You typed in your phone number you were calling and then the credit card you were using, and then you waited and waited and waited, and they answered the phone, and they manually looked it up, and there it was. It was a great decision, and of course, I was a happy guy, if you remember those days from the next few days, that was for sure. In fact, I think at that point, right after the decision came out, I actually, Moshe Rosen, who was then the just passed away a couple years ago, was the executive director of Jews for Jesus, had me fly out to San Francisco to brief some staff there. So that it was a big day, a big decision, and it was a lot of fun. It wasn't a case that was easy, though, and Glenn was kind of alluding to this. It was a precedent center because of the free speech aspect of it, and we had to argue aggressively on this point that this was a speech case and there was a lot at stake. And Justice Scalia was pretty aggressive in the oral argument, although he was part of the decision here. But I want to play number 10 and 11 for you, and it kind of shows you the nature of it. And by the way, he's not any less aggressive 25 years later. Take a listen.
Can you think of any place where it wouldn't be compatible? Let's say the Capitol, right across the lawn there. Couldn't you set up little booths for, you know, various groups that want to pass out literature to the tourists coming? Would that interrupt the...
That's a factual analysis. There conceivably are
places. I think it wouldn't, but Congress just says, we don't want it here.
There are other things.
It's not what the building's for. We don't want it. We could live with it, but we don't want it. Why can't the airport say that?
Well, the airport is taking, of course, they're taking the position that they have said that. However, it is that accommodating purpose, the contemplation of being able to hand out or distribute religious literature in this case, where it does not at all interfere with the efficient operation of that facility. If, in fact, the outside of the Capitol area was appropriate for distributing literature, as the situation with the sidewalks in front of this court's facility.
That's your
test.
If it's number one, a public area, and number two, it wouldn't interfere with the public purpose.
Substantially interfere.
Substantially, the activity must be allowed.
Your Honor, it would be a balancing test. If that compatibility is there, yes. We would assert that if, in fact, the First Amendment activity is compatible with the forum's use, that and there's this general open access, that, in fact, a public forum has been created.
So there you have it. I mean, that gives you can see the these are, you know, Jordan, you've been to a lot of my arguments since as an adult or even as a teenager. It hasn't gotten any less. In fact, folks, the expectations, because I've been back by God's grace so many times, the expectations actually higher.
Absolutely right. I mean, it gets it's tougher and tougher and different each time. Though, when you go back to the original cases, you can see the same kind of enthusiasm that you see now, that people get to see on television and get to hear on radio, and the intensity, because they don't allow there's no cameras in. The audio is all we've got. But I can tell people from being there and watching my dad do this intense. If you think any of those Fox News debates are intense, it's nothing. Compared to what goes on at the Supreme Court of the United States.
I think that's a very fair and very accurate analysis. Jordan will also tell you that these cases that we're talking about, he studied in law school. I mean, these are textbook cases now in the law books.
Yeah, absolutely. Just about every single one of these cases on religious liberty, defining religious freedom as free speech, and some of the precedents that were set, a lot of the law school professors, liberal and conservative, point to you, Dad, because of the decision to say that, if they don't want to make religious and the free exercise of religion mean anything anymore in the First Amendment, which they basically had already eviscerated at the Supreme Court before you started arguing cases, why are we just talking about it as religious speech? Isn't it just speech, freedom of speech protections? And that fundamental point is what changed the case law. If you look at the 60s, 70s, and then start looking into the 80s and 90s, when we started racking up all those victories at the Supreme Court, changing the way people looked at it, and the way the justices, too, looked at the case.
All right, let me play one more for you here. This is Justice Marshall. It's number 12. He had a series of quick questions for me as the argument progressed. Listen to it.
LAX passed a rule that you people cannot go beyond a metal detector, and only those who are riding go beyond a metal detector. Would that be a good rule?
If, in fact, the general public was not allowed access past the security point.
I said nobody but riders.
I think, Your Honor, an argument can be made that the First Amendment activities should, if you will, that should be the line of demarcation. That should be the stopping point.
It could be made or would be made. You say could be made. You can argue that the building's a cat. But I mean, would be made.
Well, Your Honor, I would say that there is a line, and that would be an appropriate place.
Just how far you go.
You have to add a factor to that, Your Honor, and that is, are there other activities taking place past that security point?
See, the reason that's, I'm glad we played that clip, because it shows you got to be very careful. They try to back you into a corner of line drawing, and the security line was the easy one, but then he was adding facts to it. Thurgood Marshall was always a pleasure to argue in front of, as were all of them. It's been, of course, one of the great honors of my life, being before the Supreme Court of the United States. It's certainly an honor, something I cherish, and I'm very appreciative. Folks, that's going to do it for our broadcast today. Thank you for our television audience for being with us. It flew by, but it was great to hear from one of the staff guys at Jews for Jesus. That was great as well. Folks, here's what we're asking you to do. Go to ACLJ.org. Let me encourage you to make an online donation today to support the work of the ACLJ. $25 is what we're suggesting, because today is the 25th anniversary of the decision. You can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255, or simply just go to the website at aclj.org and make that online donation of $25 today, tax deductible, of course. Let me also say to all of our friends, members, and partners that are out there watching this broadcast now on television or listening to us on radio, thank you. We could not go to the Supreme Court of the United States without you. I also want to thank Pam, my wife, Jordan and Logan, my daughter-in-laws as well, for standing with us in these great and important fights, and we'll see you next week.
If you've previously listened to the full hour of Jay's broadcast, now beginning at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, you can listen to the new Jordan Sekulow Show. Jordan Sekulow provides insightful analysis and interviews with top newsmakers, live from Washington, D.C. The Jordan Sekulow Show, Monday through Friday at 12:30 Eastern. Find out how you can listen to the show online at www.jordansekulow.com. And if you're interested in carrying this new program on your station or network, contact the Jordan Sekulow Show via email, info@sekulow.com.